Okay, so I want to talk about a topic that I think is very relevant and pertinent to a lot of guys. Some people are ready to admit it, some people don't admit it, but it's good for everyone to have it, even if it's not in you now. Like I was joking with Yaakov before. It's a topic that you have to have clarity in. You have to have clarity in your back pocket. Is very important. These are very important yisodos that I wanted to come out. So I didn't start yet. I just wanted to wait till everyone got here, because these topics are very relevant for everyone. And they say that the most difficult profession is to be a yeshiva guy. What's the reason? Because when you walk into a Beis Medrash, you see, Shas, Shulchan Aruch, Tur, Rambam, Medrash. In the old days, there were like four Sfarim on Kedushin. Now, when you go, I went to get to the shelf to see a sefer that would have like a listing of different Marma Kamos on the Sugya, and I hadn't gone to I usually learn at home, so I've been learning more this year in yeshiva, so I went to the shelf, the Kedushin. I figured like there's a shelf, like, Mr. Kirschbaum has a shelf, Dr. Jacob has a shelf, so I went to the yeshiva shelf. There's like six shelves of Sfarim. I was so overwhelmed, I didn't even know where to begin. If you want to learn all the Sfarim on Kedushin, in the old days, there were no Sfarim on Kedushin. They were Rishonim. Even I remember when I was in yeshiva, like those brown Ritvas were first coming out, and they were still Rishonim being published. That they found manuscripts. There was no Otzim Farshia Talmud. I remember when the Nachas Moshe came out, that was contraband. Can't learn the Nachas Moshe. It was like too, not really against Nachas Moshe, but that was considered like too contemporary. Yeshua, Atzmas Yosef, those were okay. Kikoyin Diona, I did share today. So, but the other Svarim, it's overwhelming. So you go into the Beis Medrash and you automatically go overwhelmed. It's the nature of the beast. As you look and you get mesmerized and you get psyched out. And we're learning Mishnah Berurah now if you're learning Mishnah Berurah Seder, 4 months, you did whatever, 20 pages, 25 pages, and there's six volumes. And, Kinnear, we can make a dent. That by the end of the year, you try and anticipate how much will we get to, how much will we know. And it's so easy to be psyched out. And it could be a little depressing. And then you hear about all this yumim that Rav Chaim Kanievsky is making, Erev Pesach. He's making siyum on the whole Beis Medrash, every sefer in the Beis Medrash. He makes siyum, that's one siyum, and then he has another siyum that he did while he's waiting for something else. He makes another siyum and everything. And we get very easily psyched out. We feel that that's what we are supposed to do. And it's very, very frightening. So being in Beis Medrash, like, why would anyone subject themselves to that pain of inadequacy? You spend your life, the more you learn, everyone knows that the more you learn, the more vast the Torah becomes. The more you get into a sugya, the more you see, you don't know so much about the sugya. So to avoid the pain, just don't learn. If you don't learn anything, so it'd be like, a Baal Bas who doesn't learn. So he'll get up in the morning, he'll go to davening, hopefully, maybe he'll hear a 15-20 minute halacha shir, or a 15-20 minute daf yomi shir, I don't know what. He'll hop on the train, get back, 7-8 o'clock at night, exhausted. He'll open up maybe a chumash or a navi or maybe a gemara or a mishnayos for a half hour till he falls asleep. But he's not holding in the learning. It's like almost a little bit more attractive because you won't feel the pain. It's those things really happen. I want to I give Rabbi Luban the honorable, not just mention, but he showed me this Mar Mokum today, and it was so powerful. I asked him if he minds if I share it with you. He was very, just the opposite, he was very happy. So this, in the back of this Sefer, Minchas Nasan, who was a Rashiva in Be'er Sheva, he has a couple of rendezvous with different gedolim, and he has one story here with Rav Shach, another story here with the Stipler. You got to hear the story of Rav Stipler. It's literally just a paragraph, and if you want to make copies of this afterwards and hang it up on your above your bed, above your table, it should be posted everywhere.
Is the Sefer on Kedushim? What's the Sefer on?
It's on a bunch of Mesechtas. It says Kedushin over here, but it's Kedushin, Psachim, Beya, Elul, Likutim. The name of the Sefer is Minchas Nasan. And you should tell it to everyone. So, it says like this. There's a Chazal which says, B'li Torah einam nechshavim leben Adam. Without Torah, a person is not called a ben Adam. What's ben Adam? A human being? Pashup Shad. So he writes like this: A Talmud Chashem Chashev went to. I'm just translating loosely, word for word. A Talmud Chachem Chashev means he was an upstanding scholar, Torah scholar, and he went to the Stipler and said that I don't have any cheshek to learn. He doesn't have cheshek to learn. So Moron Zecha Tzadda V'Kadosh Levracha, the Stipler, may his memory be blessed, he raised his voice, Harim Kolo V'Omar, he raised his voice and said, Ma Tem Choshvim Shali, Kain, Yesh Cheshek Lilmod, what do you think about me? You think I have a Cheshek to learn? Gam Li Ein Cheshek. I also have no cheshek. Elamai. So what are you going to say? Ani yodea. I know. Shechayovim umuchrachim lilmod. I know there's an obligation to learn. Ukimo shemuchrachim lechol matzah b'lel pesach l'loshim teretz sheli cheshek. Same way you have to eat matzah on the night of Pesach. Without any answer to the question whether you have cheshek or not cheshek, is there anybody here that has a cheshek? Hey, you don't have to admit it. No raising hands. To eat the afikomen, everyone has to like sort of leave space for the afikomen. Does anyone here have a cheshek to eat the matzah? Okay, they say don't eat erev Pesach, so you eat the matzah b'tiyavon. You have to sort of, you know, be starving to eat the matzah. But then the afikomen. You have a cheshek, I eat the afikomen. He just says it on matzah. You got to eat it regardless. Kain hu limna Torah, v'od yoter, and even more than that, b'li Torah, einam nechshavim leben adam klal. Ad kan l'shono, akadosh. He says, without Torah, it's a greater inyan. As if you could do it for matzah, you could do it for Torah. That doesn't mean that we have to, you know, that Torah has to be not enjoyable. We're not saying that it should be, we want it to be bad, but I myself have spoken to a bunch of the guys this year and in previous years. Bunch means more than five. More than five. And the guys are very, very concerned that ain li cheshek. They're worried. They're worried that there's something wrong with me. That ain li cheshek. A very common problem, and it's messing with guys. The guys are feeling very down that they don't have the cheshek. Like if they want it, they want to have the cheshek. They want to live with the cheshek. It's much easier, and everyone's looking at everyone, thinking, "I want to have cheshek like that guy." But I'm telling you, I spoke to that guy. I don't have cheshek either. The Stipler. I must say, you know, the Stipler was the Stipler never stopped learning. He says, Matem choshvim alai, yesh li cheshek lilmod? You think I have cheshek to learn? I mamish, my hair stood up when I saw this. Why didn't someone show this to me when I was younger? I suffered from the same thing. I was in yeshiva 15 years. What? And you had to go to Seder. And I've heard this from guys here and from friends of mine. You sit down at a Sunday night Seder at 7:30 in the Beis Medrash. And it's mamish. You know, everyone thinks, oh, wow, he's by Seder. He loves to learn. He didn't love to learn. I had nowhere to go. It was freezing outside. I had no food. The yeshiva in those days didn't serve any supper. And it was torture. Sometimes.
What is pshat?
The pshat is that there are some times that the learning is enjoyable. Yes, there are some times. And the more we learn, probably it'll get a little easier. Like a kid who's learning, you know, I was sitting in a ninth grade class today, and they're doing, you know, Yatzachidim and Kasef, and which is a bigger chiddush, by Bulgaris or by Naira. And I believe me, that was not cheshek I was watching. That was not cheshek. And nebuch on these kids. That, think about it. We think because high school is mandatory education, so Baruch Hashem, we wish I was in high school. In high school, you have to learn. You don't have to think about whether you want to or not because it's mandatory. So if it's mandatory, Baruch Hashem, I don't have to think about it. But Beis Medrash is not mandatory. So then everyone thinks, so why am I doing it? It's voluntary. It's voluntary. If I don't enjoy it, then what am I doing here? And everyone gets all worried that there's something wrong with them. But we have to, everyone has to post this. I have to ask someone to make a copy of this. We have to post it up everywhere. And we get with a picture of the stipler and just the words, Matem Choshvim, Yeshli Cheshek Lilmod. That's what it has to say. I don't think you could show it to anyone. It would be bad press for the stipler. But that's amazing chizuk. And you know, they said about the stipler that this is a famous story, which I don't want to say it over because it's like almost cliche to say the story, but so famous. But someone came in to Rabbi Yaffin, who was the Rosh Yeshiva in the Vardik, and they said they have a daughter and they wanted the best guy in yeshiva. And the Rosh Yeshiva in the Vardik said, well, the best in what? There are a lot of different categories. The biggest Lamdin and Ian is that one. The biggest Bekias is that one. The biggest Yari Shemayim is that one. The biggest Baal Chesed is that one. The biggest Mamusra is that one. Whatever, all these different categories. He says, nah. Just tell me who is everything put together. You do the composite score. Take everything together. Who's, if you take all the different areas, who's overall the best in every, overall, averages out to the best? Says, oh, that's that one. He pointed to a totally different person. And that was the stipler. That was the stipler who ended up marrying, you know, that shidduch. But I love that story because that means he wasn't the best Lamdan. He wasn't the best Bucky. He wasn't the biggest Yerush Shemayim. He wasn't the biggest Baal Chesed. I made up some of the categories just to stretch out the story. But this true story is totally true. In every different category, he didn't win the tops. But the composite overall. And so that looking at it from the stipler's end, you have so many reasons to get down. He can get down because he didn't get the shear the best, and he didn't get the makias the best, and he didn't finish the masechta the best, and all these different areas. That's the area that we get down about, and we get on ourselves. And that's the area that's pulling guys down. I see it, I'm hearing about it. So I thought I would just speak about in the remaining time just a few tachbulas. I didn't read this anywhere, I didn't have this any. You don't even need me to say, sometimes people come up with their own tachbulas, is better, you know. But I'm just giving a few things that I was saying tonight to prepare for this VOD. I was thinking a few ideas that might be helpful. Number one, we should not be looking at a year at a time. You have to look short, very short goals. The largest goal a person should have is a week. The largest goal. What am I going to accomplish this week? That's even a lot. If you could break it down more bite size. A week, I would highly suggest to keep a quota, to keep a quota on everything. Keep a quota on Mishnah Berurah. I worked very long, but I don't know if I went too fast, too slow. I was trying to do something that everyone can keep, so I sometimes went a little too slow. I was scared guys would fall out of it. I know it's my first time I'm doing it, so I know you gotta give me some feedback, but keep a quota, you know, something every day. That was why I did it. I don't write every day, but like a week. I don't think there's any simon that take more than a week, 8 days, 9 days at the finish of the week. Keep moving. If you sleep through Mr. Brewer said 3 days, you're dead. You can't finish with everyone. So nobody wants to skip. You want to keep up. So yeah, keep quotas. The Reb Chaim Kanievsky is a great, great, great story. Reb Chaim Kanievsky, that he made a shidduch. One of his children, I don't remember who. And at the Sheva Brachas, he told his mechutin that he apologized, he has to go, he has to leave early now because he has chovos. So he got up to leave, and the mechutin, like turned white. Like, I didn't know he had all these chovos. Like, I thought he was taking care of my children, like he has chovos. So and everyone saw that he would turn white, so then someone from the stipler, from the Reb Chaim's family said, you don't understand what he means. The chovos, he doesn't mean financial chovos. But he has chovos meaning, he does, seven blot of Gemara Bavli a day. And he does X amount of Yerushalmi a day. And X amount of Mishnah Berurah a day. And X amount of Prakim Mishnayos a day. And X amount of Navi a day. Those are his chovos. He made it like a chov, an obligation to do. Okay, on the Reb Chaim Kanievsky's level, they're not numbers that we can, keep for ourselves. But we should make chovos, make short daily plan, short. So, you can even do by the hour. Okay, you can, the people make these maxim lefis. It's a great thing. Maxim lefi, that means I'm picking, 15 minutes in this during the day that I'm not speaking lashon hara. 15 minutes in the whole day, but it works on you. Wow, 15 minutes. You have to think about it to control yourself. It's kabbalistic. A person can make that do the same thing. That for 15 minutes or 30 minutes in a given day, it's gonna be zero batola. I'm gonna learn zero batola. That's an amazing, amazing accomplishment. That because it means for that half hour you're totally immersed and it'll build on itself. Maybe you'll do another half hour, but you're committing to a half hour a day. Make chovos and live by them. I think it's a great, great, if you can. It's very hard to write out. I feel bad because I'm the worst role model, so I shouldn't be saying over something that I can't do myself. But to write over shiurim, I feel bad. I was in the shiurim for 15 years. I heard shmuzim twice a week from the reshiva, so figure there are, 40 weeks a year. That's 80 shmuzim a year times 15 years. That's like 1,200 shmuzim. I have like 35 written up. That's the percentage of like less than 1% of the shmuzim that I heard, I wrote up. And every one of those shmuzim I know so clearly, and I said them over, and they're not in Chiddush Yalev. And they're not in Rabbi Meltzer's notes, and they're not in Rabbi Feinstein's notes, and they're not in creation, pinnacles of creation, they're not majesty of man. They're nowhere. I am the only one that has a copy of some of those shmuzim, because I heard it. It didn't get written up in Chiddush Yalev. Some of those, not all of them, but some of those shmuzim. And I wrote up, I was there, I heard it. It's one beautiful shmuz, the Dovid and Achish. I love to say it over, because, the shmuzim that are in Chiddush Yalev, you can't say over, because everyone says, oh, you said over Chiddush Yalev. But the shmuzim that are in my notes, I could say over it. You'll never know. No, but they're such beautiful shmuzim. You write over a shmuz. Don't write it over afterwards. That's the Tahara telling you, okay, I hear the shmuz on Wednesday. I'm gonna write over the shmuz on Friday afternoon. I take a shower early. And I come to the shmash, an hour and a half early. I'm gonna write over the shmuz. You're fooling yourself. You're just one big, nar. You're not going to do that. You're not gonna do that. Just write over the shmooze right away when your person's saying it. You have the sheet in front of you. You want to write it on the sheet. Write it on the sheet. Get a piece of paper and write it on. Put it in a notebook or a folder and attach it to the copy of the Ma'amakom. And you have the shmooze. And at the end, and then you put it in a loose leaf, in a binder, and you'll have 2 years, if you're here, 2 years, 3 years worth of shmuzim. It's mamish amazing. And you'll have all the shmuzim for no other reason. Not anytime you go, you'll have 3 years worth of shmuzim to say over, if nothing else. And you'll also see that you're, like every week you have another shmooze, you see it's adding up. Wow, I'm really accomplishing something. Writing over shir. Write over shir. It doesn't have to be written over that you're publishing it afterwards. You don't have to publish. Okay? You don't have to publish anything. Keep a notebook, and as the Rebbe says over a question, write down the question. If there's an answer, say out the answer. So it won't be able to be transcribed into something. You'll have it, even if you have it, you know, you'll see that the sugya progressed, question, answer. Some people are more organized than others. It's easier for them. You'll see your accomplishments. Okay, I'm moving on. Different ideas, okay? Again, these aren't anywhere. I'm just setting ideas I was thinking of that will help. It's important to have an outlet. You have to have an outlet. Go for a walk. If you really can't think of anything else, go for a walk. Go for a jog. Go play ball. Go play guitar. That's a great outlet. Music. Not that anyone's doing it, but I just try to think outside the box. Like, what could a guy do that doesn't like playing ball or exercise, or is not musical? Read. Okay, you could read. But you have to be careful what you read. Because there's not, you know, you have to really, like, what you want to read you may not have, and okay, you can't just read anything, but yeah, reading is good. You could do that. You could, if anybody wants, just think outside the box. I'm saying this idea, not that you should do it, but if you want to do it, you're welcome to do it, but just you have to think outside the box. I was thinking you could do gardening. Because the yeshiva has a lot of green space over here. You can mamish make a garden and plant. You'll be so busy. You'll be running and you get busy. It just keeps your mind active and things like that. I think it's very important, this concept also of lefum tzara agrav. People think that we have the obligation to learn on a Sunday, the same as we have an obligation to learn on a Tuesday, but it's not the case. Sunday, you're exhausted, you went to sleep at 2 in the morning if you're lucky, you got 4 hours sleep or 5 hours sleep if you're lucky, and it's depressing on Sunday because the whole world is enjoying themselves, playing football, watching football, who knows what. You're thinking of life back home, mom, the old days, I used to put my foot up with a who knows what, watching a football game and watch your favorite team lose or win, depending if you're from New York or not. And it could be very hard. Sunday's very hard. You have to realize the expectation. So don't do 30 minutes, do 15 minutes of no batola on Sunday. Lefum tzara agra, it's not the same expectations. Don't give up on yourself. I saw this, I feel so bad that I don't remember which gadol said this, but sometimes, you know, Dr. Bennett, who's one of our favorite physicians here in North Miami Beach, so he told someone that the best diet, yeah, okay, I feel bad, also not such a great role model, but the best diet is one that you have to be ready to not eat just because you're hungry. Like, so what? Says don't eat. I know that it doesn't work for me so good, but sometimes this gadol said that he's going to take upon himself to learn X amount, even though it's more difficult than death itself. I couldn't believe this lashon. I'm going to try and find it for you, but I saw it inside somewhere. I forgot where. I think I saw it in the back of one of Chaim Konevsky's Sfarim Chayolim. I'll try and find it, even though it's more difficult than death itself. Can you imagine a gadol saying, it's like very similar to what we saw here from the stipler. It's sometimes hard. Yeah, I'm going to plow through it. It's good to do it, maybe even for 5 minutes a day, to bedavka learn, even though it's very, very hard. Learn something though it's very, very hard. It builds up the muscle to learn, even though something's very, very hard. We tend to, like, we pamper ourselves a little too much sometimes. We have to get used to doing it, build up the muscle. There's a famous Tosfos and Ksubis, or Akir, quoted last year by Shmuz, and I said it over recently to, I don't remember, what did I say it over to? Rabbi Dreyfus's Shir, but I don't, why was I in Rabbi Dreyfus's Shir? I don't remember. So Kalba Savua, he made this neder when his daughter, you know, ran off with Rabbi Kiva to get married. He made a neder, Mufreshani Mimcha, I have nothing to do with you. I'm not, you know, Mufreshani Mimcha, we're totally separated. We're not going to have anything to do with this guy. And then sure enough, he came back, you know, 24 years later with 24,000 Talmidim. And he heard that this person's a big chash of a person. So he had to ask a shaila if he could have anything to do with his son-in-law, you know. So he went to ask this gadol. He didn't know that his gadol was his son-in-law. So he went, the Gemara says, he asked the gadol, am I allowed to have anything to do with him? So he says, well, when you made the neder, had you known that he would become a gadol when you had made the neder? So he said, no, I wouldn't have made the neder for much less than that. I would never have made the neder. He says, oh, if that's the case, it's not a neder. He's mata the neder. And I'm the person. Okay, very happy ending. Beautiful. They kissed. They made up. But Tos asked the obvious kasha. You can't do that. Or had you known, right? Had you known he was a gadol then when you made the neder. But he wasn't a gadol then. He was an eisvarf then. He knew nothing then. He was an amaritz deraisa then. He mamish knew nothing. So later on, had you known later on he would become a gadol, you wouldn't have made the neder. But when you made the neder, he was nice for it. That's davar shelo bal olam. You can't be mater a neder like that. That's the kasha Tosfos asks. And Tosfos answers, it's not true, because since he was going to learn, it was vadai, a person who goes to learn, vadai becomes a gadol. We have to also remember that. We don't see that at all. It's vadai. And having seen myself with all my chaverim and the people who learned in yeshiva who stuck it out, many people left for, you know, many reasons, good, bad, whatever, otherwise that I didn't know, but many people left, but everyone who stuck it out, everyone became a gadol to know how to learn. Every one of them. How's that possible? Every one of them. So having the perspective of watching a whole yeshiva, you know, I was able to see, okay, there are different levels. Or some people were better than others, obviously. But you could be 100% sure that you will accomplish. I remember when I was learning Yeridaya, I'm not embarrassed to say the story. I spent the first 9 months, I gave myself a year to learn Yeridaya and Chosha Mishpat, you know, Chavetz Chaim, it's a very hard bechina. In most yeshivas, you learn every 15 semanim, you take a test. It's like, you know, the Sanal's Bekiyas, your tests. You take a test on a couple of blot, whatever, and you're done. But can you imagine taking one test at the end of the year on everything? That's crazy. You have to learn, whatever, 250 blot and the Gemaras and Shachs and Tazes and Chosha Mishpat, another 50, like 300 blot. There's no test every 20 blot. MTJ and other yeshivas, that which to me sounds more normal, you finish Malicha, you take a test. You finish Tarubis, you take a test. You finish Shchita, you take a test. You finish Trefus, you take a test. You finish Bas Mechalov, you take a test. You finish Hilchas Edim, you take a test. You finish Dayan, you take a test. That would make more sense. That's what most yeshivas do. But they don't do that at Chofetz Chaim. They only give you one test at the end. Okay, that's the rules. So you got to follow the rules. So I went through it. I learned with my chavrusa. We went through, you know, shchita, malicha, tarubas, bas bechalav, treifas, siman katanim, hilchas edus, hilchas dayarim, and the gemaras on them. And then we finished. And now you have to chazer. And the chazer you have to do by yourself because you have to take everything that you just learned. And it's a closed book test for 9 hours, one-on-one, oral. There's no fooling anyone. You can't even cheat. There's no one to cheat off. You're just there. And like, he asks you questions. Can you ask me next question? Can you ask me another question? You got to know what you're doing. So it's a lot of pressure. So the first day I was by myself, I went back to the first day that I learned, and I didn't remember anything. I didn't remember anything. said, oh my gosh, I'm going to be the first person in the history of the yeshiva to fail a Yoredei Bechina. That's why I was mama sure of it. That would happen. How could I be learning for 9 months? I don't remember anything. And I was so frightened. I was so upset with myself. Like, I should have chased it soon. I don't know what I do. And I mamish panicked, and then slowly I went through everything slowly a second time. Then I slowly went a third time. Then I slowly went over a fourth time. Then I went over a fifth time. By the time I finished the day before the Bechina that I took 3 months later, as scheduled, I chazed all of Yeredeia and Chosh Mishpat in one Shabbos afternoon. All of it. In one Shabbos afternoon. And it's, you know, tremendous, you know, it was much pressure. I had already taken the job in Miami. And can you imagine, you know, like a week before I was traveling, I was taking the Bechina. And let's say I would have failed the Bechina. So they would have announced that Mr. Mordechai Palgon, who's becoming the Menahal of our yeshiva. I kept telling myself all the time, like, oh, it's going to be so embarrassing. You know, what do I do? I know you're allowed to be called rabbi anyway, but I didn't want to be like a fraud. You know, I was so pressure. I kept pushing myself. But the more we push ourselves, the more we become. But you know, we have to get out of our minds that it has to be totally on cheshek. There'll be times that it'll be cheshek. It'll come by itself. If you think about it, if you're going to think about it and try and make it happen, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. That's not the way it's supposed to be. And I discussed this vibe with Rabbi Lubin this afternoon. I know I spoke to him about it. He feels very strongly about it. And anytime anyone comes into the yeshiva here and talks about how learning is so gavaldic and so enjoyable, he always afterwards says the opposing views. He doesn't like to hear. You know, there are some people, you know, that there is such a view that, if, you know, that, yeah, if we were not exposed to anything in this world, yeah, it could be really that would be automatically. But we are exposed to a lot of things in the world. We grew up in America. There is a lot of Gashmias. There probably is some truth to that, that Gashmias is a little bit, you know, there probably is something to it. You know, maybe 1,000 years ago, it would have been much easier, perhaps, when there's no Gashmias in the world, so it affects it. But that's not where we're at. We have to be ready to do what we're doing. We're committed to doing it. We're all here because we wanted to be here because it's the right thing to do. No one came to yeshiva because it's so geschmack to learn, so geschmack to be yeshiva. There are something very enjoyable being yeshiva. You hear what your chevra, you hear what the place that cares about you very much, your bayim that you're close with, and you know we try and make it enjoyable and do things to make it enjoyable. But everyone's here because they felt it was the right thing to do. There's no other reason to be in yeshiva. I don't know anyone. There's so many other things a person, nobody wants to waste their time. It's a life is important, and if you didn't feel it was important, you'd be, you know, whatever you want to do in life. You want to become a doctor, a lawyer, accountant, businessman. You can start. Everyone's old enough to do all those things successfully already now. We're in yeshiva because we think it's the right thing to do. So that's it. It's the right thing to do. Just take advantage of the time that we have. Try and come up with a strategy. I gave you some, but you can kindly come up on your own. Don't think you can survive without an outlet. A person needs to have an outlet at times. You have to have something, some social outlet, and don't do something that's totally on someone else. Oh, I know what I'll do. I'll once or twice a week go out by lunch and with my friends. It's really very nice, but let's say your friends aren't doing anything, so then you're stuck. So you have to be a little bit independent oriented, to do something that you want to do, find out what you want to do, and let's see if your friend wants to join you, but you have something that you want to do, and go after it, you know, take short projects and try and accomplish it so you see that you're accomplishing something. Writing things over sometimes is helpful because you see your accomplishments. Taking a Maxim Lefi or even, you know, or like a 10-minute, okay. People do this all the time now. They have these black spots, like, you know, I don't know that's what it's called. Like for dinner, people shut no cell phone. What's it called? They have a term for it, like no cell phone time. So, wow, people are going to have, you know, 15 minutes without a cell phone on. You know, family time, cell phones off. So do something like that, you know, like we're going to have, you know, 10, 15 minutes. It's going to be no batola. You know, it doesn't mean the rest of the day you want to do batola, but you're flexing a muscle and you say, wow, I was misgaber on the Yitzhara. And they say that works for a lot of things. The famous, you know, tachbula, the person wants to work on taiva, Taiva is one muscle. It affects so many different things. So they say, in the old days, they used to say, you want to work on Taiva, so you know, when you're eating, so leave one bite over on your plate. Leave it there. Don't eat it. And that helps other Taivas. And the Rashiva said, you know, later on that it's too hard to do that already. He said, just delay eating it for 5 seconds. That went on the Madriga to be able to not eat it. It would make you crazy. I can't. And if I don't eat it, the whole world will starve. And then Mrs. Stoll will probably cook less food. And it won't be, I have to eat it. We come up with every single teretz possible. But to delay eating it for like 5 seconds. That's in the, nowadays, in our terms, that's what we could do. So the main thing is, guys, don't give up. Where everyone's doing Givaldic and become great from what you're putting in. Become great people. You look back on it and you'll see how much we can accomplish. And we also have to help each other. If you see someone down, give them a little encouragement, because we all need encouragement for ourselves. So if you give encouragement to someone else, probably in that school, someone will give encouragement to you.